So my gal's niece just recently said that when I say what up, it's Noah with no fronts. She said it's creepy. So I'm not doing that anymore. But not because of her. Well, because of her.
Hello,
You hear me, bud?
yeah, can you hear me, Chris?
Perfect, Noah. Perfect.
Yes, awesome. I'm so happy that we got to make this happen, man.
I
Really
know,
means a
man. It's
lot.
great. It's awesome. Thank you.
So, for everyone that doesn't know, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you're doing? Because the reason I reached out to you and you're my first guest specifically is because I have a really hard time when I'm looking on Instagram or just kind of like reading articles or seeing who's doing what. I have a tough time believing that people are authentic. And that's sort of why I started my whole social authentic thing. And I just believed you right away. And so I want you to just kind of share what you're up to.
Well, I mean, I think that's I'm definitely honored about that. I think that's I'm super appreciative and grateful that, and that's exactly the response you want, whether you hear it from people or not. It's just being true. Basically, let me just give you the long story short, just so you kind of have my background. In 1998, I won Mr. America, so looked a certain way, felt a certain way. Cover of magazines, had my degree in exercise physiology. I was on magazine covers, wrote for websites, trained the actors of Xena Warrior, Princess, and Hercules. Trained some of the Orlando Magic privately. Sweet, sweet deal. At 26, I was 26 and married my wife. Then I get diagnosed with an incurable terminal disease called ulcerative colitis. So basically, that's an autoimmune disease where your immune system eats itself, eats your body. And I went from about 230 pounds to about 158 pounds in 4.5 months. And the way it presented itself was my colon was being eaten away. So I was basically shitting and bleeding 13, 15 times a day. And everything I've built, Noah, like I started working out at 12, so I'm here on 26. And just think, your high school years, like that's where you really get your first identity, right? And I was just, everything I've built and worked for was stripped away. My entire identity was taken away. And I was facing surgery, death, no kids, the drugs they were giving me were just destroying me. Then my only option was to take, they said, we're going to take out your colon. You'll have a colostomy bag. It'll break. It'll leak. You'll be on 6 grand of meds for the rest of your life, multiple surgeries, sterility. I mean, just the only option wasn't good. And so I'm flying home to see my mom, and my mom lost my dad and already lost two sons at this point.
Where are you from? Not to cut you off, I
Yeah,
just want to
yeah.
know, where are you from originally?
Born in New York, and then
Got
all New Yorkers go to Florida. So when I was 12 or 13, went
it.
to Florida. And
Got
then,
it.
hit Atlanta a little bit and Texas. So that was it, man. So I go home to see my mom. She's a prayer warrior, sends out the email. And then my anatomy teacher from high school writes back, says, hey, Chris, I want you to go see my doctor. He's a crutch care chiropractor. I thought that was the stupidest shit I ever heard in my life because like my only concept of chiropractic was someone who taped my ankles when I played baseball and football. That was the only thing he told me about it. And I said, well, I appreciate you, but I've tried it all. And, if you guys are listening right now, I want you to understand, like, I'm going to tell my story, but I'm also going to distill life lessons that you can apply to your life immediately now if you're dealing in any type of struggle financially, relationship-wise, business, and/or health, right? So mine was a health. So it's so easy that when you're in the bottle, like what I mean is you're going through it. It's,
I say in the barrel, same
yeah,
shit.
dude, you got it. When you're in the barrel, becoming a victim and losing hope is a subtle disease process you have no aware of until it's too late. Meaning that I literally had, I said, listen, I appreciate you for wanting to help me, but I've tried everything. And I tried it all. I went to the best in the world. I did all the testing. They told me to do the drugs. I did it all. And I justified it. I did it. And if this is the only option, this is it. And then this is what he told me. So if you're going through a bad time right now, listen, this is what I'm going to tell you. I didn't quite see it then, but I'm telling you now. If you're going through a rough time in any area of life, I want you starting right now to pay attention to the words you're hearing. It might be this podcast, to the lines in a movie, to a lines in a song, something. You never know when you're going through a tough time. There might be a line or a sentence that could change your perception and change your world. So he goes to me after I told him I tried it all, and this is what he told me. No, he goes, you didn't try it all. He goes, because if you tried it all, you would have had your health. Or if you're listening to me, you didn't try it all. I'm telling you now, you didn't try it all, because if you tried it all, you would have had your goal. You would have had that finances. You would have had that relationship. You would have had your health. You would have had that occupation, that business, that job, right? So in that moment, it woke me up, because I realized, no, that yes, I was I had lost hope and became a victim, and I never realized it. And so I said, holy crap, he's right. So I went to go see this doctor, and he taught us everything we know. Our brain controls everything. Yep, got it. Your spine houses that nervous system that controls everything. Yep. And then he took pictures of my spine. Then I saw blind spots that I didn't see before. So that's another thing. Like, if things aren't going your way, a lot of times we want to blame the circumstances, but there could be blind spots that you don't see. Like, no, let's use the barrel again. When you're in the barrel, you can't read the label on the outside of the barrel.
No.
Right? So this is why coaching, mentors, or at least an outside perspective. So he shows me x-rays of my spine. Because, see, I thought if I had a problem, I would feel it, right? But I didn't.
Yep.
So my lower spine was damaged. I had a huge curve in there. I had a lot of pressure on the brainstem bone that's right below your skull. From whatever reason, crushing on my nervous system, that was causing my body to shut down. It was because basically, if you pinch a nerve, if you crush your nervous system in any way, the life from the brain can't get to an organ. That's just the way shit works, right? So I was like, wow. And then I told him this because at this point, Noah, I was just given false hope by everybody to this point. Like, you know how many times I was told, well, once we do this, once we give you this drug, hey, once we try this, then it's going to get better. And it was just false hope after false hope. So I told this doctor, Mike, listen, I want to know one thing. When am I going to get better? And the way he answered it was the reason why I took this approach versus going against everybody else's ideas for me. And he goes, listen, he goes, as long as you have that blind spot or that problem there, you know, that thing that's causing this issue, your body's not in the ability in the environment to heal itself like it's supposed to. He goes, so, but watch this. Then he pointed at me, because a lot of times, like when we're not in a good state in our lives, we play the victim role. As much as I was feeling sad for myself, you know, I always quote the Marianne Williamson quote. She said that there is no, watch this, guys, there is no enlightenment in shrinking for the insecurity of others, meaning that you don't come down to my level to try to help me. Like, you shine. And then so he goes, listen, he points at me, goes, until you choose to correct your problem that you have that's affecting your life and your future, to correct that, then your body could heal the way it was created to you. Then your body will be able to heal and get well. He's like, but he goes, you're asking me the day and the time? He goes, that's not up to me. That's between you and your body. He's like, but I will tell you, you will get well if you don't quit on yourself, no matter how long it takes. And dude, I was like you said to me, you appreciate my authenticity. That was, out of all the doctors and all the bullshit medical centers I went to, that man gave me the only authentic, real answer that he could tell me, because no one knows. He's like, dude, I don't know. It's not up to me. And you know what? I appreciate his honesty, because you know why I appreciate his honesty? Because he knew what he was doing. And when you know what you're doing, you don't bullshit people. And
so true.
That was it, man. And so, hey, here's
that.
The deal.
You know? I love that, actually. Right? When you actually know what you're doing, you don't bullshit people. I really like that.
You're certain.
Totally. Totally.
Because I know, like, right? You know how to get people results in social. We already talked about this. You know that. So you're not going to bullshit me. Like, you're like, dude, I know what I need to do. You just need to follow what I tell you to do, right? So you have that confidence from experience. So here's the thing. So again, now let's get to the money part, everybody. Let's talk money. So now money, because money becomes our master a lot. And I'll tell you why money's the master in the beginning, because it's part of the hierarchy of needs, guys. It's human nature. So, you know, we get out of school, we do whatever we get, and we're on our minds, we got to make the money. And the reason why money becomes a goal, and it is in the beginning, is because we're going after money to hit a level of security.
Yep.
And studies show around 70, 75 grand, people start feeling a little bit secure, like the thermostat goes off, right? Okay, so now, you know, but here's what happens. Like, what happens when you don't have the money, right? So I didn't have the money. I had all this medical bills paid. So, but what we also got to see, and I see with human nature, is when you really want something, even if it's not in your bank account, you find it. Yeah. I mean, we could go to all these people who don't have money, but they're drinking their Starbucks and they're watching. And then, you know what? There's no right, wrong, or judgment here. It's just proving that if we want something, we'll always find it. We'll find the time and the money because we want it, you know?
I was a drug addict for, you know, most of my life, and I have 9 years clean now. And like, dude, I can't tell you how many times I was like living on the street and like, I couldn't fucking buy a sandwich, but I could get a bag of dope. You know what I mean? Like, right. Because that's what I wanted, you know, and that's what I needed at the time. Cause I didn't know what the bag of dope actually really meant, what it resembled. And like,
yeah,
you know, it wasn't, that's not what fixed me is what I'm saying, but go on.
But you nailed it. But like, I think that's a beautiful experience you went through. Cause now we could touch your experience with love, man. I mean, like, you know, that was not like, there's no guilt or shame or right or wrong in that.
No.
Because like, I want you to realize like you touched that with love, because that experience that you had, you'll see how, and you've already seen how it's making you who you are today, where someone can never really, you can't teach that. You had to experience that. And now you get that, right? So it's like, wow, what people are willing to do. Like, you were to the point where like, I don't have a home. I don't have a food to eat, but man, I want this. I want, it's a want. It's like that song Chop Suey. I have a bit called Chop Suey. It's like, you wanted to. And then right. The thing is like, but I don't want anybody to feel guilty about it. It's like, no, you wanted to, and just become self-aware. Dude, I wanted to. So if you know you get what you want, then it's like, don't worry about what other people think. It's like, you did what you had to do. So that means that that could flow into any area of your life you wanted it, if you wanted it that bad. So man, I would tell people, when you're talking on stage, be like, I would flip it. Be like, you got to want this shit like you're a drug addict. And that's how you get, like, you know, I mean, I want people to get to like, they need to understand. I really think addiction, people like to say that, I think addiction and obsession, it is so powerful if focused in the right direction. You know what I mean? Like, imagine using those that resourcefulness you had for.
It's my biggest asset, man. Dude, like, right? and you know, like, I even say, because now, you know, the high that I once got off of drugs, like, I replaced that with service and helping people. And like, and what's so, you know, and so I always say, like, when I'm helping someone and I choose to help someone over money, because I do more, you know, 99% of the time, it's because, and I say it all the time, that's my big bag of dope. Like, for me, my big bag of dope now is the freedom I get as a result of helping others.
Dude, that's so it, man. That's staying in your heroic lane. And at the end of the day, when we get into it later, guys, the hierarchy of needs, what's happened is you're going to be chasing the money. You're going to have your security of the money, but then you're going to wind up why you're depressed and why you're addicted and you're going to these things and distracting yourself, because it's never, you're going to realize you're going to bypass going for happiness. And when you can just go after happiness and feel that, like, I describe it as, like, when I'm in my zone, like, I'm talking to you on this podcast right now, this is my heroic, authentic self. Like, this is the best version of me. It's not a facade. It's like, it's my flow. I tell people, it's like, I've been underwater all day and you gave me a chance to come out of the water and take a breath. Like, that's the feeling. And my brother used to say that. It was who died. He was addicted. He goes, it felt like I'm getting the breath that I wanted, I wished for like, I was whole underwater, and where he felt like it was like winning the race, you know, just like,
here's one for you. And I say this a lot too, which is, and I think a lot of you guys listening, I hope you can relate to this, but I always felt my whole life until I figured it out was that I was a scream looking for a mouth. So like, basically I had a lot to say and a lot to do. But I didn't know my voice. I couldn't find my voice. So I, you know, I had all this energy and I just needed to put it out there. And until I found that my voice was always just my mouth or my hand writing with a pen, I didn't realize that though.
Dude, that's so powerful, man.
I mean, just so look at this aspect. So we find it, you know, so we find the money, you know, I get started, and I wish I could tell you, you know, a week later, everything was good, but it's tough because sometimes when you are making resolve and you are changing the variables of the equation of disaster that got you there, you don't see the results right away. And like, especially when it was tough for me, if I'm bleeding every time I go to the bathroom, I'm seeing the manifestation of blood every day. I'm seeing the manifestation of what I don't want. And, but the thing is, you know, you keep on going. And the thing is, the toughest part is the beginning until you start to see momentum, until you start to see, hey, okay, I am going the right direction. And the whole crazy part about, you know, that whole momentum part, or just knowing, like, it's okay to feel scared and uncertain. It's okay to, like, people think you got to be positive. So I'm not much about positivity. I'll tell you why. I am, but watch this. you don't have to be positive. I'm more about appreciation. I'll tell you why, because you don't have to be positive to appreciate something. Because I know sometimes when you're on the bottom or you're near the bottom, there's not much positive going on, but at least you could appreciate something and that could start getting the ball moving until you could then like be positive about something. So
is that like kind of like look at the similarities, not the differences?
You know what, man? It's just like when you're down and out and it's like, you could say, well, dude, I mean, at least I'm alive. Like sometimes it gets to that point. I'm alive. At least, you know,
I mean, because sometimes when I'm really down, before I had a sort of a perspective change, I would look at anybody and I would just be, you know, I'm just negative. I'm this negative energy. So I would look at them and like everything about them I didn't like. But until I realized that, like, why don't I look at the similarities and not the differences?
No, I got you, man. And so it's almost kind of like I'd rather appreciate over be grateful.
Just totally. Like,
Because you know why? Because gratefulness or Thanksgiving, gratefulness means that I'm grateful for something. Like, shit, I'm glad I'm not like him. See, right. Gratefulness has a huge level of comparison. But how about this appreciation? Is I could watch two homeless kids with no food and who knows where their mom is, but they're playing in the street and they're smiling. And here I got a job, a family, and security, and I'm bitching about something. And there's these two kids that found happiness that don't have nothing that I have. See how I could appreciate, like you said, not I could see sameness. I could see someone in a place that I never wanted to be and appreciate that they have something that I wish I had.
Absolutely.
Right? So it's like, so
absolutely.
My definition of love. We've all been raised with shitty definitions of love because we had parents that would yell at us saying, don't you know I love you, and all this other stuff. So we really were all raised. None of us were raised with unconditional love. No way. We're human beings. There was always some type of we got love or if we got punished. Like, so when I think of love, my new definition that helped me love myself and others is like when I'm talking to you, or everybody's listening, like for me, love is, man, I just appreciate you unconditionally. It means like right now, like, know everything in your life, every experience in your life, I appreciate you wholly, 100%. And that is the greatest way I could express and receive love from people. And because when I'm expressing that unconditional appreciation, in the act of expressing that, I'm automatically receiving that, whether or not Noah accepts my love or not, or appreciate, like, it doesn't matter what
it's you not your business what I not, do with it.
Yes. So it's like, wow. So if I could just stay in that level of flow and unconditional appreciation in the moment, then that's like you said, that's your dope, that's your oxygen.
Totally.
So you know what, man, it took me seven months of correcting the problem. And I was getting better and better around five. I could see it around 5 months. I had my momentum. And 7 months, my body healed itself from an incurable terminal disease called ulcerative colitis. I went back to school to become a chiropractor because I had an experience, right? I had something like, wow, this is something I lived. I could make a purpose out of this. 2005, I opened up my office in Houston, Texas. We built the largest clinic in the history of the world. We saw over 2,800 people per week for months and years, multimillion. I mean, like, I checked off all the boxes. And
so you were always a pretty hard worker, though, right? Like, you in one way or another, if it was exercise and weights and bodybuilding, or if it was this, like, you had some kind of drive in you, right?
Great question. No. Here's the deal. I'll make this easy for everybody, and then so everybody can realize we're on the same page. What you see of me, I became very self-aware at a young age. Actually, I'll tell you the story how. Like, when I played piano when I was younger, I had a teacher who was really good, and she would sit down and she would play me three songs. And she would go, Chris, which one do you like? I'm like, well, I like that middle one. And if it was a song that I liked, Noah, I picked it up, memorized it in like triple the time because I liked it.
Totally.
I wanted, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like other teachers I had, like they just made you do theory and bullshit. And it took me, if I didn't like it, just like anything, like if I didn't like it, it took forever. It was a grind. It's when you use the word grind and hustle. So I knew early on the things that I really like, that I find my joy in or happiness in, I wind up outworking everybody because I like being there. Like you and me talking on this podcast right now, we could talk for hours.
Yeah.
So what? Because because we're in a good place right now. We're like right now. There's no pain. There's no depression. There's only like why we're present. And it's like I would, this is my option. This is your job. So it's like, why would we not want to be there? So we were there. Therefore, we would crave it so much, we wound up outworking everybody. Yeah. And we don't see it as hustle or grind. It's like, I see it as oxygen. You see it as you see it as something even greater than a drug. So it's like, so when we find that thing we just love and or excites us, or the thing that we could do that we forget to eat, we don't eat sleep. Yeah. When you find that, then we automatically, so for me, it was bodybuilding. For me, it was finding that chiropractic thing. So when I was able to find it, I automatically outworked everybody because it became, I became obsessively addicted to it.
Mm-hmm.
You follow? So
totally.
I wanted to stay there as much as I could. It was on my mind 24/7. You know what I mean? Like I had an obsessive burning desire, and because I knew myself that if I liked it, I'm gonna automatically outwork everybody, just because, not because it's that's my goal, just because I want my drip. You know?
Yep. Sorry, I keep interrupting, but I love listening, but I also I ask a lot of questions. Just
no,
by
I
nature.
Want to no. This is open conversation for sure.
Cool. So back, you were, so you're, because I am following. So you're in Houston. You're basically one of the biggest chiropractic companies in the country, yeah. Right? And what happened?
I checked off all the boxes, right? So I thought, right, because society had told us success is this. Well, look at you. You and I have a really good contrast. You checked out, like, you literally lived you lived a life of this bullshit, false guilt and shame because you checked off the boxes of what society says was a bad person.
Right.
Right? Look at that bullshit.
Yeah.
So, and then on the other spectrum, I checked off the boxes. Wow, this is a great comment. I checked off the boxes of what society says was successful. So, boom, had the wife, right? No, so right, family, check. Boy, yep. Two boys, check, check. They're healthy, check. Business, check. Making good money, check. Built our house we wanted, debt-free, check. Lamborghini in the garage, check. I'm healthy, I'm sure. Check, 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 check. Checked off all the boxes. I did it. And life never told you when you check off the boxes, if you live life to check off the boxes, that you would be met with an extreme amount of depression, numbness, disengagement, resentment, and an emotional feeling that you couldn't, of confusion, because you couldn't label what the hell was going on the inside when on the outside, everything seemed to be wonderful.
Right.
And that's when you see celebrities kill themselves or it wasn't just the two people, Kate Spade and Bordeaux. No, it's like, so, I mean, they had fans that loved them. They had, like, they had it all. So what was the bullshit conversation going on in them? And it wasn't demons. Shit, I hate when people use demons because they're trying to like blame the circuit. No. There was this, what I call it, there was something on the inside. They couldn't put their finger on it. And I found it. And what I found is I got worse and worse. Then my son one day called it. He goes, Mommy, I was in another room. He goes, what happened to Daddy? And he said in a way, he's like, dude, that's not the guy I know. Like, you know, like there's something off. Like he saw something in me that I could put on a good show, right? I could put the smile on, you know, I could put it on autopilot. And he saw something. I just said, hey, guys, do you mind if I recluse for a couple of days? Just me and me. Because I had to get down to me. I had to there's some stuff I got to find out. So I started questioning my purpose and my why. And I realized, like a lot of people, especially the more successful they get, I call it success 101 answers. And you know this, Noah. Why do you do it? I want to help people. Yeah. Okay. You know, like God first, family second. You know, people say that stuff, but if I really looked at their lives, like I could really see what the real deal is. So I'm like, nah, it's not just helping people. It's more than that. Well, so they reach their potential. Nah. Then I was just getting frustrated. So, you know, when I got really down to it, I'm like, you know what? Why do I do what I do? Because I want to be admired. I just want to be admired for achieving great things and contributing to the world in a way it's never seen before. That's why. You know, it was a very selfish why. But man, let me tell you, it was the only thing that felt right. I literally felt my heart take a breath. I felt the calluses come off. And I started typing in my phone, contribution, admiration, achievement. You know, all the, because I'm still trying to figure me out. Right. And then when I did that, I saw the definition of hero pop up on my phone. And the definition is, a hero is one who is idolized and admired for achievement, courage, and nobility. And I went, holy smoke. I go, that was like, I woke up. See, it's all about, like, it's all about us waking up from this secret identity. It's, we don't need anything. It's about us remembering and waking up. And I woke up that was really the theme my entire life. It's the theme of your life. No, it's the theme of all our lives. Like, you know, I was a kid in the superhero pajamas. You know, I worked out to look like a hero. I won Mr. America, Mr. Universe to have a superhero title. I beat a life-threatening terminal disease to later on become a doctor to go save lives. So I had the achievement parts check off the boxes. I had the contribution, but here's the deal. And here's where the depression came. I didn't have the courage to allow myself to fully embrace and evolve into the person I was always truly created to be. And the reason why is because I was scared, and because I lived a secret identity, because my identity was in what I did as a job, not who I was created to be.
I'm teared up. Keep talking, man. This is,
you know, man. So yeah. So what was my identity? What's this identity? Because a lot of times we don't realize it. See, it was a secret identity. So for me to expand, for me to like go outside that health and wellness field and get out of my little comfort zone, it meant that I had to leave my lane or leave my identity. And another part of my secret identity is I never accepted gratitude, appreciation, and grace from my patients or my colleagues. Like I was raised in such a dogma that said anything near pride and ego was you were a bad person, you were a sinner, you were ungodly. And so I never accepted thankfulness or grace. So I swung all the way over to false humility. So anytime someone said thank you or wanted to appreciate me, it would almost be like cutting myself. You know, people cut themselves. Like, but I did it in an emotional way. I would reject it. And I would say, no, no, no. And all I did was lower my self-worth, my value, and who I was. And I realized that this depression I had, the numbness, the disengagement, everybody listening to this right now, when I say this next phrase, you'll know if you're living in a secret identity, because I'm going to hit you right between the eyes with it, because this is how I felt. I was not numb. I was not depressed. I was not guilty. I was not disengaged. I was grieving my potential the entire time. That was the feeling. So if you're feeling something, you don't know what it is. When I say you are grieving your potential, tell me that doesn't answer your question. Right?
Yeah.
So yeah. That's it. So that is a secret identity. So what is the secret identity, guys? It happened around 5 or 6. And I'll tell you why. Because when we were kids, I realized my kids, they're playful. They have imagination. They're creative. They're loving. They're very forgiving. Their beliefs are easily formed. Kids live in what I call vertical time, which is now. They don't care about yesterday. They don't care about tomorrow. They are freaking relentless. They are closers. They close me 100% of the time. They're extremely focused on what they want. And you know what? They don't give a shit about that doesn't interest them. They're off, right? Their beliefs are easily formed. They question limitations, and their number one question they always ask is why.
It's time to go to bed. They feel safe, probably, yeah, too, right?
Why do I go to bed? It's 8:00. Well, and I realize, well, that's the, I don't know. You're right, right? So all these qualities, I just mentioned these kids, they didn't go to Tony Robbins or spend 50 grand to go to some mastermind. They didn't read some personal development book. I realized, oh my God, they were born that way. That, like, we came equipped with all that. So what the hell happened? Around 5 or 6 years old, we were told to sit at a desk. We were conformed, you know, a society that injected their imposed values on us, you know, through teachers and preachers and dogmas and belief systems and institutions. You know, basically, we were educated, rewarded, promoted, and even medicated into mediocrity. We were told what to do and what to think through tradition and superstition. And we were never given the chance, or we were never cultivated to ask ourselves, what do I think about that? What is my truth? What is my perspective on that? And so all the expression we wanted to express, you know, when we were a little kid, it was now suppressed. And then we kind of put on this false suit or the secret identity to conform and fit in. And after 10 years or 20 years or 30 years of following, you know, what life says will make you successful, got the job, got the benefits, got the relationship, got the kids, got, you know, watch the game at night. Then we wake up in our mid-20s, 30s, or 40s, and we look in the mirror, and we don't even recognize who we are anymore. We don't even recognize that we're the hero because we wore that secret identity for so long. We don't even know who the hell we are because our entire life has been based and lived off of other people's values for our lives.
Wow. I've been working with someone recently who's this guy, someone I grew up with, and you know, he checked the boxes, checked the list, did the whole deal, and now he's turned into a spiritual healer, whatever you want to call it. And like, I love him. It's a little extreme. I'm not judging, but it's a little extreme. But one thing that he shared with me that he, you know, really taught me that was so fucking awesome. And it's kind of pertain to what you're saying. Is like, he got me to go back to a place where I was young and I just wanted to play.
Yeah.
And he told me to practice, just play. Like, he's like, just a few times a week, like whatever it is, like when you were just 10 years old or 8 years old and you were smiling about something, whatever that thing was, because you did it just to play, go do that. And when I started to practice that, it woke me up. It really did.
Yeah. So that means the hero is inside us the entire time. But here, everybody on this line, you've been told to work for something. It's about attaining or discovering. No, man, it's about remembering, reattaining, and rediscovering who you were. And you know what? It's tough because it's a crisis. It's a crisis. It's not a midlife. It's a crisis of life. Because when you start peeling back the layers again and getting a relationship with yourself and actually asking, like, auditing your life, going, why am I doing this? Why the hell do I even dress like this? I hate a tie. Why am I wearing a suit jacket? That's bullshit. I hate the way it feels. And you start auditing your life. And what happens through this crisis of self, at the other end, you're not going to see or meet the person that you think you wanted to be or you thought you should be. You're going to actually meet the person you were created to be. And that is the only and the greatest gift you could give the world.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
So there you go, man. So I started the I Am Hero Project. I knew that. I woke up. I started the I Am Hero Project, and I got this message out to the world through my vehicles of influence, which is speaking. I love, like you said, you were a scream looking for a mouth, and that's like, my vehicle of influence was speaking and video. And through my own journey through it and what I had to do to develop it, we've helped thousands of people around the world find the courage once again by pursuing careers according to their purpose. They found the courage to heal and restore their families because they're doing better. And they found this courage by giving themselves permission to be the hero. Like I said, why do they have more energy now? Why are they excited? Why do they have more health? Because they're happy again. They're excited again. They feel alive again because they're actually in tune and giving themselves permission to do what they want to do. So people are now making a living and doing what they want to do versus feeling they had to do something they had to do. And I help cultivate them through that process, through the transition. And I'm not telling people to quit their jobs. Maybe I could help get you to love where you're at right now, because that's an issue. If you don't love where you're at and you think you're going to find happiness somewhere else, now you're going to just repeat the cycle. So it's about shifting things around, because if you could love where you're at, even if you don't like it, whether it be a job or relationship, that is the only way you could find that job or relationship that's going to fulfill you. So we're not about repeating old habits. And so we started the I Am Hero Project. We started, a big social media onslaught with that. I do, private coaching for executives and entrepreneurs, but they're cool. They're cool people. They're tough. They go through tough times, because it's crazy when you see someone with $50 million, like, feel lost and suicidal because they have felt the pressure of trying to be someone else their entire career. And you can't live. You cannot live, you cannot be misaligned of your true self for that long. Like something's going to break. Like it's just not going to work. And there's no amount of drugs, cheating, affairs, tattoos, alcohol that's going to suppress it long enough. Like you're going to face it. So I help people, number one, realize, oh my God, there was nothing wrong with me. Shit, right. That's the number one. Oh my God, I was living a secret identity. There was nothing wrong with me. Like, there's no, and how about this? There's no right, wrong, there's no judgment. Like, man, like I told you, I appreciate you unconditionally. Like, if I saw you 9 years ago, wherever, or 10 years ago in the street, man, I would love and appreciate you, knowing that even though you're in a shitty spot, you're going through contrast. Like, you went through so much contrast in your life. Because people don't realize, like, when we go through contrast, which is in the micro shitty situations, we realize what we don't want. And we, yep. Right? But here's, you got to understand, when you realize what you don't want, there's two sides of that coin. in your
realize what you do want.
Oh my God! In your spirit, you were clarifying, even subconsciously, you were clarifying the life that you want. You're like, I'm never like, and it got to the point where like, I'm not gonna be in this shit no more. Like when I lost my health at 26, I knew I probably desired health more than any other 26-year-old around me. Right, so I had to go through that experience to not only know what I didn't want, but to get an obsessive desire what I did want. And that obsessive desire, and you know, we wanted to remember how, like, right? So you just took that addiction. I put that obsessive desire and I channeled it towards what I did want. And that's when you become successful in that area, because you were all in, you know, you just took it to a level of wanting that, and it doesn't have to be that much more. It could be that 1% more, but it makes all the difference compounded on a daily basis.
There's definitely a magic and a beauty of my girlfriend. She got cancer when she was 25, 26. She's 34 now. And then she got cured and then got sick again. And then she went like a totally different spiritual and holistic route, and she's 100% fine. And there's some magic I've noticed with people that get sick at that sort of age, and they have sort of like an awakening, something happens. And she, cause she's one of, to me, she inspires me more than anyone. And that's because she went through something that I don't relate that to what I went through, because what I went through was, yes, it was emotional and, you know, and all that, but there's something that happens when you really hit this like health thing and you need to change. And it's just, it's beautiful, man.
You know what I think it is, Noah? And if you guys are listening, whoever's listening, I want you to automatically get into your mind, just say cancel, 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 that you need to have a health issue to then be able to have like this amazing story. Noah, right. I think what it was for you and I and your girlfriend, I think because we get so driven or we get so stubborn or even romantic in the boxes we've got to check off, that life had to give me a what I call an active health terrorism. Like, terrorism is very effective. We know that, right? I put a gun to your head, shit gets done. But there's right. also other ways to get that shit done. So I think sometimes we could be so stubborn, or maybe we're going a direction in life and the universe is like, that is totally unaligned to where you should be going. And I'm not listening. I'm not looking at the unknowns. I'm not seeing the signs everywhere. And I just think not living in congruency of your truth or your hero, I think for me it manifested, and your girlfriend it manifested in a health crisis for someone yeah. else, right? Like, it's like it manifests.
You hit a bottom when you stop digging kind of thing, right?
Yeah, yeah. You know, so it's like, holy, like, you know, when you get broken, like it's, what I can tell you is this, it caused me to stop and think, mm-hmm. right? You know, mm-hmm. so it's that thing that kind of like, okay, like how bad, how stubborn am I for me to be like, all right. You know, so it was one of those like, okay. But for you guys who are listening, like I went through that experience and your girlfriend went through that experience. And no, you went through your experience. So everybody listening does not have to go through that experience. Like if you would just listen, and I get it. Words don't teach. I get it. Experience teaches. But damn it, if we could help you see differently, you'll change your perspective and say, wow, I'm on that road and I'm going to get off this exit, because if I keep on going, I'm going to end up like them. If we could just help you pivot, like yeah. we did, like it was there, nothing was in vain. Addiction was not in vain. Health experience was not in vain. So understand, like, I don't want anybody listening to go through a story. I'd rather you go through an experience, or at least maybe when I was talking, you're like, crap, that's what I'm feeling right now. So why get to the point of having an affair or getting on drugs or boozing yourself up? Like, well, maybe if I just told you that you were grieving your potential and that woke you up and that held you, I saved you 4 months before you did something really stupid and sabotaging. You follow what I'm saying? So like,
totally do.
Like,
you're right.
I believe yep. like Noah, myself, like we're here for you guys listening to say you don't have to go through any, like we were just stubborn, you know, yep. but like, and but our stuff, like that was our superpower, right? So it's like, you know,
I went out to war, came back with wounds. Like, look at my wounds, so you don't have to go get them yourself.
Yeah, I mean, and then just listen, and let's help it. And I just think, if we look back, you and I both look back, and we could see the lines were in the sand long before we got to that point. And it's like, wow, but no one was there to tell me. No one was there to point to me. And maybe if they were, I wouldn't have listened, you know, and maybe I didn't listen. But it's like looking back now in retrospect, oh, okay. But you know what? That's why I love, like, if someone's on this line and you're freaking going to go do a line of coke after this, you know, I love you anyway. I appreciate it because you know what? You're on your own journey, and your journey is just going to teach a contrast. And like, you're really like all, man, it's, I'm saying this just because I've learned to be able to touch everything in my life with love, whether it be a dad dying that I needed or losing my, having a health experience. Like, you know, when you can look back and just really get to the point of appreciation and seeing how it was a teacher, like, I know that line of dope you might be doing after whoever's listening after this, this thing's, you're going down a road that you're going to have a lot of contrast, and it's going to be a teacher. And I believe, you know, if you handle it correctly, you'll get out the right way. But like, you know what, like what I'm trying to say, there's no guilt, there's no shame. And I think a lot of times what sabotages you or I know, or anybody listening, is we feel such guilt and shame because of dogma and religion and all these other things that it perpetuates that behavior.
Yep.
Where like, if someone just loved me, or I loved you right off the bat, be like, no, man, I love you, man. I know you're having a rough time. I know this, you know, but you know that's self-sabotaging. So, man, like, you know, love yourself, man. I love you. You know, like, and then like, maybe you would have got out earlier, right? Like, it was because it was became self-sabotaging after a while because you just felt unworthy. You felt like a loser. You know, like all these things that society makes you feel, which was all a secret identity. It was all delusional bullshit. It was never true. And that's why you kept on feeling that way, is because those feelings were your heroic guidance system saying, Noah, you are believing an absolute delusional lie about yourself. You're worthy. You're perfect. You're amazing. You're talented. And you believed some like absolute fictional bullshit. And that, and you actually perpetuated a bullshit life because you were believing such a lie.
I didn't understand that as I was enough.
Right.
You know, and like,
right.
And it, the irony about that for me was, one of the guys, two guys, I attribute two guys who really saved my life. And one of them, he died. It was this guy, DJ AM, who really, really helped me out a lot. But he was the one who first said, because I tried getting sober a bunch of times before I could get even, you know, 6 days. You know, like I tried for years. And one of the things he said to me was, he said, as you are enough. And I don't know what it was about that. I don't know if it was just maybe the perspective I had that day, or maybe it was really just powerful to me, but it, fuck it, that hit me so hard. And that's really stuck with me.
You know, I know it because you were at the point where you were asking.
Yeah.
You know, I think like, that's the thing, yeah. Like people like, you know, like when you're ready and the teacher arrives when you're ready, that yeah. Bullshit thing. It's like, but I mean, in all reality, it's just like,
God, doesn't really matter.
The answer's there when you're really asking. When you like, we ask the question, we get the answer. And you know what? Sometimes we get the answer like, but I'm having fun. Or, I don't want to deal with it right now. And like, that's cool. Like, you know, man, just enjoy the life. Here's the deal, guys. And once you realize that you're immortal, meaning that, you know, you'll live this physical experience for however long, and it's not the end of it. Like, just like it wasn't the beginning when you got conceived, that's not the beginning of you. And just understand it. Just like, you're having a life experience, and your life experience is contributing to everybody else's life. And so that's why when you could see that, hey, like everybody contributes to everybody. And like those guys, your friend, you know, who died, it's like his words contributed to your life. Like when you really see that, you know what, it just like, and we can really take the right, wrong. Because just think about it. Let's think of religion for a split second. It's like, you have all these religions, you feel their team is the right team. And they're all praying to a God. But like Abraham Lincoln says, it all depends whose side God's on, basically, right? So it's like, it's almost this weird right, wrong, I'm right, you're wrong. We're all playing for these teams. And we don't realize, see, that we're all in this physical experience to contribute and expand and evolve together. And it's okay that we have contrast. It's okay that we have these different experiences
I think it's more than okay. I think it's like, embrace them. I'd rather have a colorful picture painted, you know, than you don't necessarily need to go through hard times, but right. I think that, you know, I try and share with people my experience, and most of my experience has always been to just sort of embrace who I am, you know, embrace my story.
Yeah. And come out the victor and not the victim. I think the only time it starts to get rough is a lot of people who are well, a lot of people are addicts and they're talking about how they're going to their meetings and shit like that. I'm like, you're always going to be an addict, man. Like, don't put on your Instagram you're a recovering addict. Like, you're claiming your bullshit story. It's like, no.
Yeah.
Like, I don't tell people I had a disease. I said I had a health experience.
Yeah.
Like, you say you had a substance, like, whatever. You had an experience. Because it was never yours.
Yeah. I went to meetings and did all that. And I still think they're great. But, like, I couldn't agree with you more about what you said.
Well, you know what I'm talking about. I apologize.
Totally.
I apologize for everybody saying the wrong way. But you know what I mean?
No,
it's like, you could see how some people at the meeting – they're like,
that's what this is.
They want their addict was their form of significance. And now if they don't see themselves as an addict, if they see themselves as whole, they just lost their significance.
Yeah.
It's a fine line. You're right.
No, but that's what this is about. No fronts, man. Like I really, cause I agree with that. You know, it was like, and it works for some people, but I think sometimes like we don't need to like identify ourselves as something specific, you know, like, I think it's important just to embrace who we are in the moment, wherever we are.
It's part of a chapter of my life. Let me tell you my story. Let me tell you my origin story. How cool is that? It's part of the beauty of so I really think that. So if you guys are listening, any part of your life you feel that you've attached a victim mentality or that victim mentality gave you a form of significance, understand that. That form of significance or playing that role is going to keep you in that role. So for you to move forward through that, I want you to kind of, again, touch it with love, embrace it. Like, say, hey, listen, like, and you know, you don't have to forgive it either. You know, because I know a lot of shit. Some people listen, you were raped, you were molested. It's like, how do I forget that? Forgive that person. I'm not asking you to forgive. I'm just asking you to just be like, well, it happened, right? So I'm aware of it. I'm not denying it happened. And then later on, I don't know how long it's going to take. No. Like, I'm the person I am today because of that, even though it sucked. And then maybe possibly, and you don't have to. It's your life, but maybe you get to the point of like, wow, that person did something wrong to me, but they really served as a great teacher in my life. And maybe you get to the point where you could forgive the person, but I'm not telling you have to. You know what I mean? Like, everybody, you know, they don't. You know what I mean? Like, you just got to go through your...
It's such a freeing feeling, though. Like, I really do. Like, when I could, like, embrace those certain, you know, those things that, like, for forever I thought were terrible or I was ashamed of or whatever. Once I, like, when I could kind of, like, embrace that, it's such a freeing feeling. Like, it's just kind of, like, that really set me free.
Well, you just said the freeing feeling. Remember, I've been saying the heroic guidance system. It's kind of part of that heroic secret sauce, the hero secret sauce. It's like, we have a guidance system, and that's that. Like you said, it felt like it wasn't where it was a freeing feeling. It was, man, that you were aligned. It was truth.
Yep.
And then the shame was never truth. It would never, and it never will be. So it's like, but we put those feelings off. We said, listen, this doesn't feel right. This shame, this guilt, this worry, the anxiety, that's a warning signal saying you are on the wrong GPS. Like, you're not on, like, this, just to be aware that you're believing a lie. Okay, why am I worried if there's a lie here? Oh, I was worried about what someone thought. Or, man, this feels exciting. This feels freeing to me. This feels like life to me. And, like, that's a sure sign that whatever you're doing, you're on the right track. So that's how you get through this 100%, life. You know,
100%.
You don't say, well, because that's, you don't go through saying, you know, I think that's your best determination of if you're in the right direction or not.
100%. 100%. So, this couldn't be more serendipitous. So, for the end of this show, you're my first guest, but what I've done, I don't know, 4 episodes already where it's just been me, but what I plan on doing, because the show's called No Fronts, it's kind of an ode to someone who saved my life, which, and why it's serendipitous, is it was Iron Man, actually, and literally. So Robert Downey took a chance on me when no one did, and he showed me integrity and honor, and he did it without telling me, you know, just by his actions. And one of the things we used to do, and I think this is just fucking, it's beautiful when things like this kind of just come full circle, but one thing we used to do was we'd be sitting together and he would say, you know, he would do this thing where he said, ready, set, go. And basically what ready, set, go meant was if he said ready, set, go to me, then it meant I need to speak and basically just splurt out everything that's going on with me. No fronts, just raw, real shit. And then once I was done, it was his turn. And would you be interested in trying that with me?
Oh, dude, 100%. Let me tell you my Robert Downey Jr. story. So
tell me.
You know, so I named the title of this thing the I Am Hero Project, right?
Yeah.
That's the name, I Am Hero. And so for me, when I was going kind of through this tough time, when I just happened to, you know, watching Iron Man, the first one, I've seen it plenty of times. That's the thing, like, I've seen it plenty of times. But when he was about to say that Rhodey was going to be the Iron Man, and he holds up the car and says, I am Iron Man, and everybody went fucking nuts. And
I saw the video.
Yeah, I started crying. I'm like, and here's the thing: why did I cry then? And I've watched it 100 times because something inside me wanted to stand up and declare who I was and take and be okay with it. I am .. Like, I am is it's the spirit personified. And I realized in that moment it was the first superhero that didn't declare that there was no secret identity. And I believe that's the reason why his career, I believe that's why Marvel took off. There's no secret identities in Marvel. They are who they are. And from that, that's why I named it the I Am Hero. And so many people, even religion, they don't like the word I am because they think, but it's like, no, man, I am is, that is truth personified. You are declaring I am. And that has been, I know you saw that video, but that is the.
I cried too, by the way.
That's a pivotal moment. And you know what? We were not the only ones who cried. All of us, because why did something jump up on the side of us? Because it was the truth inside of us that we all want to be able to stand up and declare who we are with no fronts and no secret identity.
Yeah, absolutely. So
let's do it, man.
Let's do it. So if you want, I'll go first, or you can go first, man. Whatever.
Well, so I tell you, ready, set, go.
Yeah.
All right. You ready?
Yep.
Ready, set, go.
Fear, financial insecurity, fear because I am so on the right track, but I don't know really what I'm doing. Sometimes it's really hard because I lose sight of things, don't trust myself. But on the other side of the road, I know I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. My connections are good. My relationships are good. I'm on track. I also sometimes wonder if I am going in the direction that I want to be in or the direction that just feels right. And are those two things the same thing? I feel really good about this podcast. God, it felt great. It was so inspirational. I'm so happy that we did this. It just felt right. I'm hungry. I need more caffeine. I'm done. All right. You ready?
I'm ready, man.
All right. Ready, set, go.
Transition, insecurity. Am I making the right decision? It's almost there. I wish I knew the future, but I got to embrace the unknowns. Everything I need is in the unknowns. It's going to happen the way I thought. I'm excited. I'm ecstatic. I'm confident. I'm knowing, but I'm also impatient.
I fucking love it. And so I just want to, before we go, and I thank you and 1,000 thank yous, but I want you to just give your information to the people listening because I think it's so important, your website or your Instagram, your Facebook, let them know where they can find you.
Well, I just want to acknowledge you first, man, and honor you and acknowledge you for who you are. And I love this time today. This is great. Like, you can see, we're so pumped up right now. And you don't need caffeine, brother.
No.
Like, I mean, come on now.
I know.
I mean, like, this was better than a cup of coffee. If you're listening right now, guys, everybody's listening, I want you to go to IAmHero.com. So it's IAmHero.com/secret, like the word secret. It's just singular. And if you go there, I have something called My Hero Secret Sauce. And it's just six principles of things you can apply immediately to get a fast win. There's videos and PDFs. You'll totally enjoy that. And then there's some special offers you could get, you know, in that moment with a little time frame in there on other courses I did, you guys could do. And be on the lookout for the big I'm Hero project. Then let's keep this conversation going. If you like this podcast, please rate it 5-star. Comment, ask to have me back on again. And I keep the conversation going. So go to Instagram under @DrZaino. It's DrZaI, N as in Nancy O. Either on Instagram or Facebook, and I put out content 7 days a week. I do something called Hero Fuel a couple of days a week, and I do something called Hero Lab. What's Hero Lab? It's when, when Noah and I come together, and we're heroes work shit out. And that's why I do live one-on-one. Like, I coach people for 60 to 100,000 a year, but guess what? When you ask me a question, don't think for a second I'm holding back. Like, so you have the opportunity. We could just work out stuff together live, and that's probably my favorite thing to do. And it's just every day, and I answer all my DMs, I answer all my messages, I answer every single comment, because that is my utmost value. is because, and that the reason why Noah said, you know, about being authentic, that's why I do it, is because there's a lot of people that are not authentic. They're an inch deep on online. They're an inch deep. And I want to show people that, hey, you know, there's people like Noah and myself that will take you to the top. We'll ride you to the bottom. We'll come back up again together.
No doubt. And I'm going to put all of the links in the description of this episode. And dude, what an honor. I'm like so humbled to have you. And this has just been fucking amazing, amazing, amazing. And also, if you guys have any questions for him, send them in. You guys can send a message in through the Anchor app, which is what I'm recording on. So just send the message, go to my profile and it'll say send message. Send me a question, whatever it is. I'll pass it on to him. I'm sure, I have a feeling we're going to have him back real soon. This was great. And thank you 1,000 times. I really appreciate it. And I appreciate you.
Absolutely. Thank you, everybody. Have an amazing day.
All right.